chapter 4. 2 Corinthians chapter 4. We'll be looking at several passages of Scripture leading up to 2 Corinthians 4 and into Corinthians 4. And today I'm doing something a little bit different. Tonight we have our annual church meeting, and I always write a report for that. And typically, you know, I don't preach off a manuscript, but when you work with words and put it in writing, you have certain ways that you want to say things. And so probably this message is going to be a little bit different because I'll be doing a little more reading than normal, but I think they're important things and the things that I wanted to say that, and then this will be put in the church manual tonight. But I want to talk to you about our mission and the message that we have as a church. And would you stand in honor of God's word, first of all, and we'll read from the New American Standard, beginning at verse 1 in 2 Corinthians chapter 4. Therefore, since we have this ministry, as we have received mercy, we do not lose heart. Then verse 5. For we do not preach ourselves, but Christ Jesus as Lord, and ourselves as your bondservants for Jesus' sake. For God, who said, "Let the light shine out of darkness," is the one who has shown in our hearts to give the light of the knowledge of the glory of God in the face of Christ. But we have this treasure in earthen vessels, that the surpassing greatness of the power of God may be of God and not of ourselves. Let's pray. Lord, we come before you humbly, because we recognize that anything that we have comes from your hand. It was when we needed a Savior that you moved, and when we could not save ourselves, you sent Jesus to come to die on the cross for us. And Father, as we look at what you're doing in the lives of those that call Concordia Wesleyan Church their home, we're thankful for the message that you have poured in our lives and the mission you've given us as a result of that. And Father, guide us today as we walk down your word. Help your word to resonate within us as we see how you have placed us and brought us into this body of believers to represent you well in this world. In Jesus' name, amen. As we come tonight and the various reports that have been given, it really seems almost impossible to me that my family has been here 13 years since being called as your pastor. And a lot has taken place over those 13 years. In fact, when we first arrived, this is how my family looked 13 years ago in the fall of 2001. And a lot has taken place over those 13 years. Some of you remember when Jake broke his leg at a Delta Chi outing just 3 weeks after we arrived here at a dirt bike mishap. And then 6 weeks later, our daughter Emily broke her leg while she was wearing rollerblades and was helping me bring bulletins over to the church. And I don't know if you can see it in that picture, but you can see the orange cast and the purple cast that is there. And this was on our Christmas card, and we sent that out to our friends and stuff. And I had Pastor Nate Rovenstein from Lawrence call me up. He goes, "It looks like a really rough year because both your kids have broken legs, and it looks like you're missing one, David." As you see in that picture. But, you know, 2 months after Emily broke her leg, then I was playing noon basketball at the college gym, at the open gym that they have there, and I hurt my back. And for 2 years, I had back problem and was really more about 6'2", 6'1", rather than the 6'4", 6'5", that I am. And so, you know, and then it was 10 months into our ministry before our house back in Overland Park, Kansas, sold. And those days are distant memories in my mind. But at that time, our family was going through it. It required faith, patience, persistence, and assurance of the call to lead this body of believers. And there were struggles, as you know, and difficulties in the church as well. But God's message and his mission in this body of believers was refined and renewed during those times of uncertainty. And today, as I look back on those 13 years, I honestly have to work hard to remember the pain. But I hopefully have not forgotten the lessons nor the joy those experiences add to my life. In my family life, I think of Jake's and Emily's graduation from Concordia High School and how they honed their skills and their interest, and how this church body helped define and grow their relationship with Jesus Christ. They have both since finished college at Oklahoma Wesleyan University, and they are employed in serving God in Bartlesville, Oklahoma. I think of Allison, who in 2 years will be the first of our children to have completed all of their education in one school district. She too is developing into a wonderful expression of God's grace as her gifts and leadership in the kingdom are becoming evident. And then in 2008, you embraced with us three additional children, Christian, Diego, and Noah. Three young boys who came out of a difficult and tumultuous birth home environment. Yet God in his providence allowed for these boys to be placed in foster care here in Concordia. Years earlier, God had placed in my wife's heart a passion for adoption. And God took that passion and provided the opportunity. And together as a family, we stepped out in faith, in love. And it was an experience that has changed our family's future as well as our day-to-day life, as this picture, I think, shows you the life that it has brought in and the memories that we have. And it's reassuring for us to recall that the touch of Jesus came into these young boys' lives through the foster home that they were placed in here in Concordia, Kansas. Not only the foster home, but people in this church were already touching them because they were in some services at Pawnee Mental Health. And Mark Roffus and Susan Newton knew our oldest son before we knew him. I'll never forget the picture that we happened to come across one day in the church photographs of our daughter Allison painting the face of her future brother the first year we had to move our Easter egg hunt inside. It was a day that this church body had to be flexible and come together to put together an event that we had planned to do outdoors and we had never done indoors before. But instead of canceling that event and saying, well, I guess it's not supposed to go on, we had a good attitude, we worked together, we trusted God with the results. And the scene was set for a young boy in foster care to attend an Easter egg hunt at Concordia Elementary School that day. And once again, as God works things out, it was on that day that Allison and Christian's lives first crossed before they ever knew each other personally. And someone just happened to be in the right spot at the right time to capture a photo of it. Additionally, the church family stood beside us as my wife Marilyn had a series of three eye surgeries and a thyroid surgery beginning in the spring of 2006. That same year, my mother went to go be with Jesus in November. And just 10 months later, my 33-year-old brother passed away in October of 2007. And only 2 months after being diagnosed with leukemia. Those struggles and experiences have formed and continue to form my faith in the saving grace of Jesus Christ. It was during that time that I said once in a message, and two men in my church have told me that was one of the most profound things I've ever said. When we talk about heaven and the hope of heaven, I believe this stuff. And I do. In our church family, we could write many books about the joys and victories as well as the pain and difficulties we've experienced over 13 years. You've shared some of life's most significant moments with this church family. Moments like the birth of a child or a grandchild, an answered prayer, a relationship restored, a love found, a marriage formed, a sin forgiven, a life transformed. And many of you have found someone in this body of believers to walk alongside of you in life's most intolerable moments. The diagnosis you prayed would never be heard, a broken relationship, a personal failure, a dream abandoned, a child walking away from the faith, the devastating loss of a loved one, or some other painful experience that is hard to understand even to this day. Many of you have your own story to tell how this body of believers has represented Christ in your life. Some of you came to this church because you were in pain and life was crashing in on you. Others were searching for a place to call home, and others were just searching. But it really doesn't matter why you came. What matters is that you're here and that you're needed. It doesn't matter if you've been here for many years or today's your first Sunday. This is the place to be. And it's our desire and our prayer that you embrace the reality that you have found in this church, a place where you are accepted and a place where you are wanted. We believe that part of our call is to accept one another, just as Christ has accepted you. And why do we do that? So that God will be given the glory. When an individual finds a safe place, a place where they're accepted and loved, they're more freely to explore what it is they really believe about life. What are they going to build their life upon? And whether or not you have fully embraced the forgiveness and love demonstrated to us in Christ Jesus by receiving Him as the forgiver of your sins and the Lord of your life, I want to say that as a church family, we are glad that you are here. Thank you for your courage to explore the claims of Christ, to be willing to ask questions, to consider the answers that God's Word provides. For it is our firm conviction that what a person believes and where they belong will ultimately determine what they become. This is a principle that is presented over and over in the Bible. That is why we say Concordia Wesleyan Church is the place to be, to believe, to belong, and to become. It's not just a catchy slogan, it's a biblical principle to be lived out in each of our lives. I hear it again and again, not just how friendly and sincere and loving this church family is toward those that are new in the church, but that it is a real experience. What guests are experiencing is not a marketing ploy. It is the love of Christ at work in our hearts toward those He loves. A long time ago I heard, make your church a pool of love and people will drive for miles to bathe in its healing waters. And I believe that there are many people in this body of Christ today who would add their witness to the fact that Concordia Wesleyan Church is that pool of love for them. A place where they have found forgiveness, hope, and renewed purpose in its healing waters. Paul writes in 2 Corinthians chapter 1 these words, all praise to God, the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. God is our merciful Father and the source of all comfort. He comforts us in all our troubles so that we can comfort others. When they are troubled, we are able to give them the same comfort God has given us. You see, God's Word teaches us that God doesn't waste the hurt. And one of the ways He redeems the painful experiences in our lives is not only by deepening our relationship with Him, but by taking what we have learned and experienced it and sharing with others who are going through similar situations. And as we do, another result takes place. More people encounter Jesus Christ. 2 Corinthians 2:14 says, we find these words, but thank God, He has made us captives and continues to lead us along in Christ's triumphal procession. And notice this, now He uses us to spread the knowledge of Christ everywhere like a sweet perfume. Someone once said that God doesn't comfort us to make us comfortable, but to make us comforters. And as much as I thank God for His work in your lives and mine, we must never forget that the church exists for the benefit of those who do not yet belong. We cannot become so consumed with ourselves and our likes and dislikes, our needs and wants and desires, our friendships and our resources, our hopes and our dreams, that we end up ignoring or simply not having the time to develop relationships with those who do not yet have a relationship with Jesus Christ or a body of believers where they can call home. Paul says God uses us to spread the knowledge of Christ everywhere like a sweet perfume. There is a lot that could be said about this analogy, but for our purposes today, let me make one application. When you smell a sweet perfume, it begins to engage your senses merely by its presence. In fact, if you smelled it, it is likely that you would be aware of its presence before you knew its source. And as devoted followers of Christ, the presence of Christ is in you. That means that wherever you go, Christ is present through you in your bodily form. Therefore, the words you speak, the things you do, the love you express brings honor to God. In your daily life, we have to let God permeate the environment around us and help lead others to the throne of grace. Be ready to share with others what God has done in your own life, how He has changed you and is in changing your life. You see, the greatest work that God has ever done, that you'll ever see in this body of believers, is the power to change a life for His glory. We continue to experience new people coming into the life of this church. This week I had the opportunity to share some time with a couple that began worshiping with us just this year. And it was great to get to know them and to hear about their journey of faith with Christ. And as our conversation turned to this body of believers, they talked, like so many others before them, how much they enjoyed the inspiring music, the practical, biblical messages, and the friendliness and the sincerity of the people that call Concordia Wesleyan their home. And all these things are good to hear, and honestly, they help our faith grow, don't they? We build into each other's faith. But then they mentioned the change they saw in people that they knew came here. One of them that was mentioned was Phyllis Groats, who on Friday of this week went to be with Jesus. Now, Phyllis's time in this body of believers was relatively short, about a year or so, and yet it was impactful. It began with an illness a year ago when she was hospitalized, and Mary Meyer saw her in the hospital and asked her if she would like a pastor to come and pray with her. And Phyllis said that would be nice. And so Mary called the office and talked to Pastor Bob. And Pastor Bob went up and visited her on that day. And to get to the point, it was in that hospital room that day that Phyllis called upon the name of the Lord for salvation. That next Sunday, she was in church, and she began soaking up everything that she could. Sometimes attending both worship services, the 9:15 and the 10:45. She attended Kevin and Sherry Johnson's study group as we went through the story, you know, the Bible from Genesis to Revelation in 31 weeks. She attended Firm Foundations class. You were able to witness her share her personal testimony of faith in Jesus Christ the day that she was baptized right here in front of you. She told me she had never felt so much love in the realness of God as when she came into this fellowship. She had other stays in the hospital, but fear never gripped her life again. And this just this last week, when Bob met with the family to discuss her services, one of her sons mentioned that ever since she began attending this church, it's like she was born all over again. She was a completely different person, so much more gentle and kind. Folks, that is the work of God on a human heart. And it's real. And it's undeniable. And it's inspiring. And it bears witness to the power of God at work. It's not achieved by human effort, but it is by the mighty power of God through the gospel of Jesus Christ. That couple I was having that conversation with, it's wonderful to say they had known Phyllis for years, but they also mentioned another individual in this church. And listen, I could call out several people because I have conversations. Whenever I meet people, I try to find connections with people like you that they know. And they mentioned Matt Eubanks. And they've been able to see him grow up through the years and to see how he is maturing and what kind of father he is and his faith. And what you know what Matt does? He loves his family. He loves his church. He loves Jesus Christ. And he's simply doing what he can. But listen, it bears testimony that Jesus Christ transforms a life. I can go on. My barber talked to me about Larry Remege. It's been a joy to see just over the years about how God is changing and transforming his life. That's the story of our life. You see, the story of God is a story of people. The story of people that God changes and brings glory to himself because of his work. No wonder Paul wrote in 2 Corinthians chapter 3, "You are a letter written on our hearts, knowing and read by all men. Being manifested that you are a letter of Christ cared for by us, written not with ink, but with the Spirit of the living God, not on tablets of stone, but on tablets of human hearts." And he goes on to say, "Such confidence we have through Christ toward God, not that we are adequate in ourselves to consider anything as coming from ourselves, but our adequacy is from God, who also made us adequate as servants of the new covenant, not of the letter, but of the Spirit, for the letter kills and the Spirit gives life." We need to continue to let God weave the writing of his story of grace in and through our lives. And as he does, more and more people will have the opportunity to experience for themselves a personal growing relationship with Jesus Christ. This message has been titled, "Our Message and Mission." And so what is the message that we proclaim? And the message is simply this: Jesus Christ is Lord. Here's what Paul says. You see, we don't go around preaching ourselves. We preach that Jesus Christ is Lord. Underline that. Jesus Christ is Lord. We ourselves are servants for Jesus' sake. For God said, who said, "Let there be light in the darkness," has made this light shine in our hearts so that we could know the glory of God that is seen in the face of Jesus Christ. The message we share is not what a great church we have or what great people we have that are attend here, or what we've been able to accomplish, or even what we believe that God is going to do. The message we proclaim is all about God and what He has done, is doing, and will do through those that will orient their life around His Lordship. Everything good in our lives comes from God and flows into our lives because of what He has given us through His Son, Jesus Christ. It's not because of who we are, but because of His love and His mercy. Paul wrote 2 Corinthians 4:1, and he says it's all because of His mercy. This is His unmerited favor. He did for us what we could not do for ourselves. When our sins separated us from God, He sent His Son to take our place. And on the cross, Jesus took our sin, our punishment, God's anger, and He paid the price that we might have eternal life. And Paul says, this is a miracle of Genesis 1 proportions. Because the God who created the heavens and the earth, when He spoke in Genesis 1, "Let there be light," and there was light, He now uses that same phrase here. He says, "Let there be light in the darkness." Let there be light in your life, in your heart, in your witness. Let the people around you read you like a book, and let that book point to Jesus, His Lord. Look what else he says. So we all could know. Would you underline that phrase? So that you could know. So that you could experience for yourself the glory of God that is seen in the face of Jesus Christ. Just as the heavens tell the glory of the Lord, Christ in your life brings glory to God. We continue to memorize Scripture. One of the verses that we've memorized, we've actually had it for two different Easter seasons. "For what I received, I passed on to you as of first importance. Christ died for our sins." Notice that it's according to the Scriptures. "He was buried, and that He was raised on the third day, according to the Scriptures." You see, the message is all about Jesus. He is Lord of all. He's Lord of creation. He's Lord of life. He's Lord of death. He's Lord of the grave, Lord of sin, Lord of sickness, Lord of joy. He's the Lord of lords, and He's the King of kings. He's the Lord of this church. Let's make sure we say, "Lord, be Lord of my life." And out of that message that Jesus Christ is Lord comes our mission. If we don't get the message, we will settle for lesser missions than He has called us to. If we don't get the message, then we'll be working our own mission and we'll only accomplish what we can accomplish. And I want you to notice this, hopefully that you can see it. The mission, notice the words, "He is the mission." Jesus Christ is Lord. And our mission is to live the message in our daily life. We also memorize this passage of Scripture: "But those who obey God's word truly show how completely they love Him. This is how we know that we're living in Him." Underline this. I guess you don't have it in your notes, but write it down. Those who say they live in God should live their lives as Jesus did. This is the call of God. This is why it takes a work of God in our life. God wants to conform us into the image of His Son, Jesus. And it's why we have to continue to allow Him to work in our daily life. This isn't just about letting others know that don't have a relationship with God. It's letting God's power continue to change and grow our own lives. We have a mission. Now, I imagine that you're going to get real interested now when I tell you that I had a conversation with an individual this week who offered $2.5 million for the church to start a new church building. Have I got your attention? Does that information change what you believe that God would do in the days ahead? Now, before you get too excited, let me remind you, I started this paragraph with, I imagine. And the truth is, this conversation only took place in my imagination. There's no $2.5 million donor, and as of right now, we have 6.5 acres of land and about $26,000 in the growth fund. A pittance. Doesn't look like much, does it? But we have so much more than that. The greatest treasure we possess is the power of God at work within us. And look what Paul says here. We now have this light shining in our hearts, but we ourselves are like fragile clay pots containing, and would you underline this phrase, this great treasure. You know, there's a lot of people who would trade a personal relationship with Jesus Christ for millions of dollars. We're not those people. We would rather have the treasure of Christ in us, the hope of glory, than a huge bank account. Amen? Look what it says here. It says in clay pots. I could talk so much about this. God says, I am going to bring about a work in you that everyone else is going to say nothing ever, and anything's going to come out of that. And you see, this is the story of God over and over again. Not many wise, not many noble, not many that the world looks up to. He goes, I'm going to show my power in your weakness. And what you're not able to give me, I'm going to, if you would trust in me, I will do so much more, in fact, abundantly more than you could ever ask or think. This isn't the fine china that God uses. This isn't the ones that you wow and impress the dignitaries. These are clay pots. Pots that they were used to take out the rubbish out of the homes with. And he goes, the glory of God is going to shine in them. And Paul says, in our own personal lives are an example of this. Verse 8, we are pressed on every side by troubles, but we are not crushed. We are perplexed, but we are not driven to despair. We are hunted down, and we are never abandoned. We are knocked down, but we are not destroyed. Through suffering, our bodies continue to share in the death of Jesus, so that the life of Jesus may be seen in our bodies. As a result of this, out of the Message paraphrase, it says these words in verse 13 to 16. We are not keeping this quiet, not on your life. Just like the psalmist who wrote, I believed it, so I said it. We say that what we believe. And what we believe is that the one who raised up the Master Jesus will just as certainly raise us up with you alive. Every detail works to your advantage and to God's glory. More and more grace, more and more people, more and more praise. So we're not giving up. How could we? Even though on the outside it looks like things are falling apart on us, on the inside, where God is making new life, not a day goes by without the unfolding of his grace. And then as we jump into, that should be 2 Corinthians chapter 5, it says, this means that anyone who belongs to Christ Jesus has become a new person. The old life is gone. The new life has begun. And all of this is a gift from God who brought us back to himself through Christ. And God has given us the task of reconciling people to himself. For God was in Christ, reconciling the world to himself, no longer counting people's sins against them. And he gave us the wonderful message of reconciliation. So we are Christ's ambassadors. God is making his appeal through us. We speak for Christ when we plead, come back to God. For God made Christ, who never sinned, to be the offering for our sin, so that we could be made right with God through Christ. He is the message, and our mission comes out of that message. That's why we say we are here to build a community of believers, to honor Jesus Christ in our daily lives, and to share his love with everyone. And as we bring another church year to a close and look forward to the next, we'll continue to focus on building people. We will use our gifts and energies and talents and resources and passions for the glory of God. The message of our church will be that Jesus Christ is Lord, and whatever missions we are involved in, what that will look like, will flow out of that message. And as we continue to build the community of believers, the impulse to get involved, to roll up your sleeves, and to get in on the action will increase. This evening we will gather and we'll reflect upon what God has done, and we'll celebrate what He is doing, and we will anticipate how He'll bless us in the days ahead. Now, part of that process is adopting a budget, electing individuals to leadership boards, and reviewing reports. Now, I know that sounds real exciting, like, all right, we're now getting to the cutting edge of a mighty work of God in our lives. We get to have a business meeting. But things like this provide the structure that helps support the life that is burgeoning in our body of believers. Behind every great work of God is a structure that helps support the life. Those things by themselves may seem mundane, boring, and even unnecessary, but without structure, life becomes disoriented, ineffective, and unfocused. Allow me the liberty to share one more personal story. While preparing for our time to leave together this morning and for our meeting tonight, my family has also been preparing to leave early tomorrow morning, hopefully, with a family of seven. Early may be 11 o'clock in the morning, I guess, to be part of Jake's marriage to Katie Portis. And here's the lovely couple right there. Jake and Katie have spent hours preparing for this one day when they will commit their love and faithfulness before God to each other for the rest of their lives. They've not only prepared for that day, but for the days that come after that commitment. So they've had to make decisions and talk through things like housing and work and budget and bills and how to handle the unexpected and, you know, those new in-laws. None of those things that I just mentioned will birth love and commitment. They are just necessary things a couple better pay attention to in the course of living life together. And once again, my family is prepared to experience the joys of a new member to the Redmond family. 13 years ago, here's how we looked. Mother's Day, this is now our family. Increased from 5 to 9. And as our family grows, we'll make room and do whatever we need to be part of that exciting journey. Just one snapshot is the vehicle that we're going to use for 7 of us to go to North Carolina for the wedding. Traveling with 7 people in a Suburban to North Carolina is going to be, well, let's just call it an adventure, okay? I think we've been pretty creative in trying to make room so that life can happen inside the vehicle. In fact, if you look out here in the parking lot, here's what my vehicle looks like today. I have taken my mother-in-law's little trailer hitch thing that they use for her little scoot around, and I went and bought a 5x2x30-inch storage deck box that's waterproof and put that on the back of our vehicle. That's where our luggage is going to come. That's for luggage. That's for none of the kids that is there. So that we can have room and do some of the things, because we're going to be 18 to 20 hours in a vehicle at various times going over this trip. What do you think? Isn't that a pretty good idea there? Here's what I want you to see in that picture. That storage container is just part of the vehicle that helps get our family to the destination. Dreams are being fulfilled. That is right, Marge. Dreams are being fulfilled. And you know what? When we think about a church building, that's what a building is. It's just a vehicle that helps us get to the very important stuff of what happens in the lives of people. We'll have pictures of this, and we'll have stories to tell about this, but it's the interactions. It's the fights we break up. It's the feelings that get hurt. It's the things that we get to enjoy, and the swimming and the life and meeting new family. That is what this experience adds to our life. You see, a building is just a vehicle to get the people of God to the destination where God desires them to be. And the story of Concordia Wesleyan through the years has been one of doing whatever is needed to accommodate additional growth. That's been the story of this church. This has included conducting weekly ministries in 6 different buildings, renting facilities for larger gatherings, changing and scheduling, reconfiguring ministry space, and other things. Paul mentions twice in 2 Corinthians chapter 4, in the first verse and in the 16th verse, we do not lose heart. Remember what Hudson Taylor said? Every work of God is first impossible. We can't do it ourselves. Then it is difficult. And it is difficult to grow and to reach more people for Christ. It's going to cause you to do things and to give up your wants and your desires and your needs. It's going to require your involvement. And I thank God for the history that we've had, but we cannot lose heart. And in doing so, Paul reminds us that building the kingdom of God is worth it. Phyllis Groats is in heaven today, her faith being made sight, because people did not lose heart. So as we face a new church year, we will continue our calling to build a community of believers. And you will be called to give yourself in ministry, your time, your energies, and resources in this great movement of God. As you respond in willing obedience, you will honor God in your daily life, which will result in a beautiful letter that God writes through your life. And more people will encounter the love of God, and He'll receive the glory for it. This, after all, is the primary work of God in our life. You will also hear about new ministries emerging in the days ahead, and you'll learn that the Building Action Team and the local Board of Administration are working through a process to determine just the next step for a future facility or a vehicle for ministry. And you'll see a commitment to remain focused on the message that Jesus Christ is Lord. And lastly, you will be challenged to live out that mission we've been given by being fully engaged in living out the message of the Lordship of Jesus Christ in your daily life. Thank you for the letter that you are writing, and thank you for the joy of being your pastor. Let's pray. Father God, there are so many reasons we could come up with why you wouldn't use us, or why someone's heart will never change. But Father, you called us today to remember what you've done for us. And Father, may we bend our knee to you anew today. May we say, God, whatever the future holds, I entrust it into your hand, and I want your will to be done on earth as it is in heaven. And Father, in my daily life, as I walk in obedience, by doing the simple things in day-to-day life, guarding my heart, paying attention to my words, bringing accountability into my life, and trusting you, letting the peace of God come into my life and thinking rightly. As I do that, you in response through your Holy Spirit, move us and guide us and prompt us to reach beyond ourselves. Father, the work you've done in us, you want to be used just like the city on a hill that cannot be hidden. We are salt, we are light. May we reflect the glory of God, and may we do whatever is necessary on this journey to bring glory to God. In Christ's name we pray.